All right, Mind Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode of The After Show. After Show 130, that's crazy. We have like more after shows now than podcasts have just regular episodes. It's crazy. Imagine After Show 1000. That would be insane. Imagine what we're reviewing at that point.
Rogan's at like 1500.
Yeah, he's at a lot. But before today, guys, today's we got listener questions. We have plenty of them. And we are also going to be running through just of the last few hours. An Oscar-winning film, Free Solo, which we did mention before. Did we review The Dawn Wall, or did I just talk about it?
You just talked about it. We've done a few climbing movies on Netflix, but we haven't done The Dawn Wall.
Okay, so The Dawn Wall was the first one that I saw. I saw like the live premiere or whatever you want to call it, and I also did the same thing for Free Solo. So I got invited along to that to check it out. It was really cool, and yeah, we'll review it today. So it has one documentary. Or like documentary Oscar of the year, I think like that. Some whatever that category is, but obviously we'll get into it in a sec. So
obviously our rating is more important to them.
Absolutely.
Than that Oscar.
Oh, rating. Absolutely. Don't go and watch it.
They will be holding their breath.
Don't just go and watch it because you want
to
an Oscar.
Hear our thoughts.
Yeah. Wait till you hear the My Muscle Project review. So today on the show we are going to just dive straight into these listener questions. We have some good ones and. Like we always do, we take a long fucking time to answer these things. So, first question is from Jack F. Steiner. Sculling a shot of apple cider vinegar every morning has health benefits, true or false? True or false?
We had this first on the podcast with, I think it was episode 50 of our show. And in that podcast, I actually did try it after. And it was about prepping your digestive system, like in the acids going before you eat. So you like feel better when you actually eat the food later. So I did give it a go for a long time. And on that point, I can't really say I noticed much of a difference.
Mm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of the health claims that are out there with weird things like this are quite often anecdotal.
Mm.
And they're not proven as much in a lab. Now, there is some research and there are some stuff from some Australian doctors. One of them is, I think his name's Dr. Michael Mosley. He's like quite a celebrity sort of GP.
Yeah.
And they did some testing and they ran some stuff. And there was a slight change in blood fat cholesterol levels, positive change. However, these things are often an anchor to better habits. Mm. So it's a good way to be like, I had my shot of apple cider vinegar. Therefore, it is now time for me to eat more salad and cut out, you know, the extra coffee or do this healthy thing instead. So it's always hard to control and always hard to know in these situations. I think for a lot of people, apple cider vinegar in warm water with honey has always been a good, or at least self-reported potion for sleep.
Yeah, I've tried that one as well, actually. But I think that the honey is the thing that's doing the real good there.
I think so as well.
And it's the slow release of carbohydrates. And we've had that multiple times on the show, and it definitely makes a difference if you wake up with like low blood sugar because your carbs have run out. But I don't think the apple cider vinegar has made a massive difference there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of it is just placebo effect.
Mm.
And it's a good anchor habit. If you like to wake up in the morning and do something a little bit different, I think that it's really good. The only thing I would warn about is because it is so acidic, I wouldn't put it straight into my system like without diluting it. So my recommendation is if anyone thinks they are getting a certain health benefit from apple cider vinegar, would be to dilute it in water rather than just drinking it so straight because it is way too acidic at that point. And you want to make sure that obviously the alkalinity of your stomach is pretty neutral. Like whether or not you think it's a health benefit, I don't think there's a lot of science to back it up. However, if you think it makes a difference for you, by all means, go for it. Just dilute it a little bit in water.
The one thing examine.com says is it definitely doesn't make you lose weight.
Yeah, no way. Absolutely not. No. That's ridiculous. Calorie deficit. That's how you lose weight. Okay, so second question. Is from Jay Healy 26. Are you guys doing the open?
Yes.
Very timely question.
I'm doing it. Well, so far I'm doing it. We did the.
Did you register?
No, I haven't. But I still have time.
Oh, okay. You're gonna register?
No, I didn't actually plan on.
Okay.
But I got 8+28 for the first workout. Didn't have like my normal routine, which is deeply upsetting to me. But it was.
Did you? Despite
being really boring workout, it was still pretty.
Did
fun.
You go like psycho?
I went as hard as I could in the workout, but you know what it's like. If you do it like with the class and everybody else, You know, like I had a regular person judging and then like didn't have the rower on and shit like that, right? The small things that I would normally have 100% fixed up.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I still definitely gave my best effort. And I do think it was a fucking really, really boring open workout.
Yeah. Well, the open is not... Yeah, it's not only not exciting that workout, but it's also, I think, disappointing from anyone that's doing the open for a second, third or fourth time to see how it is presented by CrossFit now. It's very disheartening. It's gone back in time at least 6 years.
Man, it was so fun. I don't know if anyone saw the live show, but it was like, you know, it used to be like crazy, you know, event, like a theater performance. Mm-hmm. It was just this random guy's like, ah, oh, so there's 19 of the wall balls, 19 of the rowing, and you can do it for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Sam was like, is there anything else? Like, no, that's it.
I didn't even watch it. I just got sent screenshots and it was quite disheartening about it. It was funny.
But what I've noticed since is that all the like people that were working, they've got fired. They've like kept the things going under different brand names. So, you know how there was the update show?
Yeah.
The update show is like still in existence.
Really?
On YouTube. Like the same guys, whatever. What's his name?
Pat Sherwood?
Not Pat. They're like Tommy Marquez and the other guy.
Yeah.
And they're like doing it under like a different brand name. It's like Elite Fitness or something. Mm. And then the guys that made the movie, they're like still bringing out a movie, but just under a different business.
Right.
So it's like a lot of these guys that got fired, like didn't actually get new jobs. They just kept doing what they were doing and trying to finance it themselves, I guess.
Right. Good luck to them. Mm. Good luck to them. It's a, I mean, the sport is going to take a massive hit this year in terms of viewership and participation and just where it's kind of at. But we need people like that to keep trying to promote it who have done it before. So they have the experience. They know what works. So like all the best to them.
I think also is like, this is just, if it is, it might get better. And this is going to be the worst year because this is like the most chaotic, like nobody's organized. The rule book came out like 2 weeks ago, halfway through the season. There's two opens.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be the most chaotic and probably disorganized ever going to get. And hopefully as years go by, it's going to get better and better from here.
Mm. Yeah, to answer the question as well, I did the open workout this morning. I got 8 plus 7 wall balls. I was with about a 3-minute warm-up and no judge. And
so you cheated as well.
Yeah, so I had to count my rounds with a piece of chalk.
No judge makes it easier. Doesn't make it harder.
Yeah, well, all my reps are legit, bro. It's not like I can get off the roll before it says 19. But no, I think for me this year, I honestly have done close to zero fitness. I think I average maybe one class a fortnight. So one hard conditioning piece a fortnight. Most of my conditioning is walking these days, but that was just because I had different goals. And I also just wanted to approach the open in a way that I've never, ever approached it since I started, which is completely relaxed with no pressure on myself, with no intentions to look at the leaderboard or see how things are going. And honestly, it is the most enjoyable I've ever had with the open, the most enjoyable time ever. So, very glad to be doing the open and not doing it and having it ruin my entire week because this person did better and that person got more. And, you know, even though you just told me you got more reps, I couldn't give a shit, you know? And in previous years, I would have been like, oh, nah, I got to go again. Got to beat Raf. Can't let him beat me. But it's really nice to say that, you know, I just did it. I went as hard as I could have. I'm not going to, you know, make excuses or go again or do anything. I just wanted to get in and just do it and experience it. So, yeah, it's just, it's a nice change of pace.
I would say committing to not doing the workouts more than once is probably the best hack you can to actually enjoy the open more. Because no matter how, you can take it really seriously or anything, but there's something about committing to not doing it again, which makes it way better. Because you know before you start, you're like, no matter what happens, I'm just going to fucking do my best here. And then after it, you don't have that nagging feeling all weekend. Like, oh, like, should I just do it again? Like, should I do it better?
Nah, you still would though.
But at least if you know you're not doing it again, you just move on much quicker because you're like, it's fucking over. Like, what the fuck am I going to do now, right? Like, it's done. How you normally would if you had a sporting event. Like, normally you just like had a fucking soccer game on the weekend. You would just like look forward to it. You do it. And you're like, oh, that judge was shit, whatever. And then you just move on to the next week.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, if you're not like obviously going crazy serious on it, at least just making that decision early does seem to make it more fun.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, we are doing the open workouts this year. Well, you might not do every workout. Depends on which...
Depends if I'm away. And I'm going to be away for one of them. But if I'm like around and it's all good, I'll do them.
Yeah. But will there be any movements that you're like injured or you...
I haven't done a wall ball for a long time. I haven't done any kipping for a very long time.
Yeah.
So, if it's like heaps, I'll probably give it a miss.
Yeah.
But if it's like reasonable, I'll just give it my best.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't want to lose too much weight, so can't do too much conditioning. So that was a good question. Yeah. Are we doing the open? The answer is yes, but just in a different way. All right. Before we get into the last question this week, guys, remember, we were brought to you by True Protein. Today, I'm actually filming what is called the True Stories, where they're taking the ambassadors for True Protein, so us, the My Muscle Project, and they're following us around and doing a little bit more on our story and our journey in fitness and health and our businesses and just getting to know us a bit more. So Kim is helping us with that today and filming the whole story. So look out for that video. We will post it on our YouTube and maybe our Instagram as well, just some trailers so you guys can, yeah, view it and kind of dig into a bit more of the story. I know a lot of you kind of been following us for a while, so you know a lot about us anyway, but it's a cool variation on what we normally do. So if you want to buy their protein as well, not just consume their content, trueprotein.com.au, and you can use the code MYMUSCLE10 to get 10% off when you check out.
We've got some exciting reviews coming up. We're just waiting for the package in the mail, but we've got new flavors. Some we're actually not allowed to mention yet, but there's some really cool stuff coming. They always bring out new products from True.
Yeah, we're going to review more of the new products in the future. So the last question before we get into the review this week, Jason Hogg 97. Question: go to uni and finish my sport course or work on coaching and business?
It's a good question. I also really like the fact that this major life decision you've entrusted the My Muscle Project with. Fantastic. And I would encourage everyone to make major life decisions in the same format.
Matt, propose to girlfriend? Yes or no? Euthanize? No, I won't go there.
It's a good question. So I have no idea. He's deciding whether he should finish his sport course.
Or, yeah, so it must be like a Bachelor of Sports Science or something like that, exercise physiology.
What I have noticed with this conundrum is what makes such a big difference is how far somebody is through a course. So of all my friends that got like over halfway with their course, nearly everyone was like, I'm just going to finish that thing. Because, man, even though I know the sunk cost fallacy and you've already spent the time and you're not going to get it back, just the fact that you've put in already most of the time and the actual amount left to get the same degree is so much less, I think it massively puts you in favor of finishing. You know, if you've got like 1.5 years left to get a 4-year degree, you've only got to spend 1.5 years to get a 4-year degree. So that's a pretty good deal. Whereas if you are like just beginning and already having second thoughts, I think then you're much more in a better position to just leave the whole thing, right? That's a little bit how it played out for you and I, because when we had the gyms, I had like probably a year to go out of a 5-year degree. I'm like, fuck, it's just being lazy not finishing that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you had, what, like 3 years maybe to go out of a 4-year?
Nah, I had actually way less. Yeah, way less.
But you had a lot of really inconvenient shit, like that placement
stuff. I was just about to...
I was not doing that fucking placement.
Yeah, I was just about to explain. I think you've almost set the F word record in this after show today. I don't know if you noticed that. But no, what happened for me was... So, you did commerce and law.
Yep.
And you finished both?
Yes.
When did you start? When did you finish?
I started in 2009 and I finished like 2019, the end of 2018. Yeah.
So, nearly 10 years.
It was 10 years.
Yeah. And you went full-time for how many years and then...
I took like travel time during it.
Yeah.
I was just traveling, but then I did actually 4 years. Sorry, no, 3 years of full-time.
Okay.
And then I spread out the last 2 years.
Across 8 years.
Yeah. Across 7 years. No, I had a year off. A year off. And then I went like... Sometimes I was doing one subject. Yeah. So fucking slow over like 4 or 5 years.
But it never crossed your mind at any point that you would not finish the degree?
I like thought about it very short periods. And then I was like, no, I'll just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I started in 2012. I started digital media, which now that I look back on is actually, I'm far more interested in that than I am in exercise science, but that's just hindsight, right? There's no way I could have realized that at the time, but I started digital media. What really just didn't get to me is I was just too into fitness at the time and all I wanted to do was learn about it. And so I didn't really have mental capacity or patience for something like Photoshop or you know, video editing software, which I love doing now. So it's kind of ironic how it swings around that way. But I transitioned out after 6 months into exercise physiology and I did that full-time for 2 years. Then when we opened the gyms, I went to part-time and I nearly finished the third year. I think I was 2 subjects short of a full year, the third year finishing. It's like, or maybe 1 subject. So, I basically had a year left, but the final year, there was like 400 hours of unpaid placement.
Oh, my God.
and 400 hours. And it's not like I'm going there to sit at a desk and I can work on the gyms. It's like I'm standing in a clinic watching people get in and out of chairs.
But also 400 hours is something you're not ever going to do, because that wasn't the type of work you wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say as well. Is even if I got my degree, I knew that you would have to drag me kicking and screaming to have an exercise physiology job. Like, I had evolved so much as a person by that point that that sort of stuff did not interest me. Like, I think 80% of exercise physiology is the practitioners working in aged care. Mm. So, you know, grandma breaks her hip, she needs to learn how to walk again. Or, you know, 67-year-old Jeff can't really squat anymore, so you've got to help him get in and out of chairs. To be honest, I know this is an important job, and I'm saying all exercise physiologists do a great job. For me personally, I'd rather stab my eyeballs out than help old people get in and out of chairs. And I know it's necessary, but this is just how I feel about the job. And I knew if I finish this, I don't want anything to do with that industry or that type of work. And it's the most offered work there. Yeah, of course, you can like be the ex-phys guy for the Roosters and that sort of thing, but those jobs are so hard to get, and it's who you know. It's nothing to do. Everyone's got the same degree. So what's separating you from other people? Yeah, work experience. But how do you get certain work experience when you're all on the same playing field? It's who you know. And so if you don't know someone to get that first foot in the door, then you're behind. You're never going to get those jobs. And like, yeah, you can risk it and play that game, but we already had our own thing going, so I wasn't that interested in it anymore. And a lot of the subjects that lay ahead of me as well, they weren't even that interesting. Like, I felt like I'd gotten through a lot of the really interesting subjects like anatomy and nutrition and that sort of stuff. So at that point, I knew it was time to pull the plug. And yeah, just the busier the gyms got, the busier the podcast got, I just found it harder and harder to go back to uni. I would sit in the chair and I'd just think, why is this person telling me what to do? I don't want to be here. So I just knew. And so I guess our advice would be, how far along are you? That's probably an important thing. Where are you at with your businesses and coaching? You know, if you have two or three clients and you're just starting out in business,
it's probably a really good idea just to do it on the side, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Finish uni first. But, you know, if you have, what do we have? By the time I made the decision, we had three gyms, had a shitload of clients, had the podcast traveling for it. It was a lot bigger than my degree. And so it was an easy choice for me. But if you, if you're not supporting yourself fully off your business and your coaching yet, if you're a fair way into your degree, if you're, 60, 70% there, I would, finish it.
Yeah, I would finish it. I think also sometimes people just make a bigger deal. They're like, oh man, it's like 2.5 years to go. It's like so much of my life. It's like, no, it's like you're 21. You're going to be working until you're 70.
Yeah.
It's actually a really, really small period.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Good luck. Tell us what you decide.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. And just get that shit done. And don't send us in any questions for the exams, because I didn't do that well. Okay. And I'm also not good at sitting at a desk. So before we get into the last review of the show, let's talk about peak. How is peak focus going for you? How much are you consuming every single day?
I would say peak focus has, I guess, probably doubled my intake of peak.
Yeah.
I focus every day, so it's a fucking essential part of it.
I live focused.
Actually, this show, what I really wanted to get across was we're going to America looking for a distributor. So, if you know anyone that would like to become a distributor of Peak in America, so that could be, it could be anyone from like, I think, just trying to start a business, like wants to be kind of like a bit of a startup guy, or someone that's just like already got a big distribution business or you know would be a right fit for it. You can send them our way. We're going to be at the expo in Anaheim next week.
What's the expo called?
It's called Expo West. Okay. Apparently, it's so big. It's like if you visited every single store, it would take you like 4 months. And it's like a 3-day fucking
Holy
thing.
Holy moly.
And it's like to even get a good stand, you have to be there for your third year. Like in your first year, you're like in the rubbish stand. Like you can't pay for it. Like,
in the car park.
Yeah, you're like in the in the toilet. Like,
yeah, yeah.
In the, in the cubicle. Like, oh, want to try this chocolate? Like I'm peeing. I'm literally peeing. So if you do know anyone, please let us know. And right now, we're also just getting the gyms back involved in Peak, because I know we just changed on how we're doing the wholesale, but now you can actually get the boxes of single serves and the boxes of Focus single serves again. So if you're a gym, you can get in touch as well and make some money. And the normal code is, of course, MMP10.
Yep,
10% off your Peak.
Nice. Okay, so Free Solo. Free Solo is the new Oscar award winner for best documentary film, I think it's called, whatever the title is. But It is basically a inside look into Alex Honnold, or behind the scenes look into the life of Alex Honnold, who is basically the most famous free climber. What that means is he climbs shit without a rope, which is absolutely psycho. And in this particular film, he was climbing a wall on El Capitan, which is the hardest, or yeah, basically the hardest rock in the world. It's in Yosemite Valley. Yosemite Park?
It's National Park, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It's in America. It's in California. So, I've made a lot of documentaries on this place, but this particular film is about him climbing a particular route up the wall without a rope.
Well, I don't know if you even remember, but we have reviewed a previous rock climbing film on Netflix.
Yeah, and Valley Uprising.
Yeah, and they were the first people to climb this mountain. And it took them like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, a cliff.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Call it a mountain. They'll come and they'll stab you. They'll choke you with their North Face
hoodies. This rock face. Took them like 3 months. This guy does it without a rope in like 3 hours or something or less. So, it is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. It's... okay. So, interesting movie. Now, I watched The Dawn Wall before that. So, my expectations were very high. It's a very similar style film. I mean, it's on the same cliff face, the same rock. But I'm just going to put out there first. I actually preferred The Dawn Wall. I actually thought it was a much, much better film. Like, not even a little bit better. I significantly enjoyed it more than Free Solo. But we're here to talk about Free Solo. So, give us your thoughts, Raph.
Well, I haven't seen Dawn Wall, but the movie is definitely gripping. And I saw it in an outdoor cinema and it was raining. So, very unenjoyable experience. But even with the rain, like, spitting in my eyes the entire time, it's hard to stop watching. It is, like, the craziest thing. Just looking at that cliff face and realizing this dude is going to climb it all the way up by himself with no ropes is like the craziest thing I ever heard. But I did finish it feeling like almost a little bit sick because it was like almost like too crazy and like too dangerous for me to watch. I didn't actually really know much about it, so I didn't even know. I presume this guy survived, but like I wasn't 100% sure because I tried not to read all the stuff after, but everybody around me knows that this guy is still alive. That's why they're winning awards. So it is absolutely crazy. I did feel like I didn't know how, honestly, just like sort of responsible or if it's the right thing to do for the companies to make heaps of money sponsoring a guy and like, you know, flashing the brand of clothing he's wearing and the shoes he's wearing on a film when I think the activity he's doing is like so outrageously dangerous. And the guy, his friend of the movie is like, oh, everybody I know who does this is dead. which is just to me like just another level of danger, totally different to any other sport. You know,
it'd
be like if the UFC was like fight to the death. Like, it wouldn't be that fun.
Yeah, if the UFC was like,
be like, oh, Conor McGregor's dead now.
Second round,
like that sucks.
Get the knives in, so like you throw knives in.
And I actually really liked the other guy in the movie. When you watch it, there's another guy in there who's another free soloer, like an old wise free solo guy.
Yeah,
and he was like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this with the cameras. Like, this is a thing you should be doing like behind the scenes by yourself. And I really like that point of view. I was like, man, this is so crazy. Obviously, you shouldn't do it if you enjoy it. But I don't know if it's something that like they should bring the cameras around and, you know, get you 2 million Instagram followers over. Because like the first thing Alex says when he finishes is, oh, I know some kid's watching this out there and he's going to outdo me with something even crazier. I'm like, that is true. And very likely that kid's going to die.
Yeah, I mean, just from a craziness perspective, it's the movie sells itself. I don't know. Just didn't like. I think I knew because he survived. It just wasn't that exciting for me, really.
Maybe that's the difference between our experiences. Because I didn't actually know what happened.
Yeah. So I knew that he'd survived, and I mean, it's obviously an incredible feat. You can't take that away from him. But for whatever reason that I can't really explain, I just didn't really get into the movie. Like, I didn't hang on the edge of my seat for different moments. And he's a really boring guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's exceptionally unentertaining, very bland, very dry sense of humor, not good on camera. And it's hard to squeeze a lot out for a movie like that. He takes a mad photo, but in terms of a video, it's just the substance is not there for me. So
they also had some weird things, like they touched on his family, and the family was clearly a really weird situation.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing he had to say about his mum was that his mum was like very hard to impress or very hard to make happy.
Yeah.
And just left it at that.
Yeah.
So it's just like weird. It's like, why even bring it up? Such a weird thing if you're not going to delve into it. So there was a few like kind of strange things about the movie. But I think just the fact the feat is the most crazy thing most people have ever seen in their whole lives makes it very successful.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, if I had the Oscar judges explain, or actually, is it the judges or does it go to a vote?
I think that one is like, yeah, it's a vote amongst like a selection of people.
Okay. I would like to hear people that voted for it explain it in comparison to other things. Because I feel like I've watched better documentaries.
Yeah.
Well, even Dawn Wall is a way better documentary.
Because it's not an award for the craziest feat.
No.
It's meant to be the award for the best documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that just could be my frame of mind and, you know, how I see it. It's only one opinion, but that's just kind of how I felt about it. So, look, I walked away from Dawn Wall with an exceptionally high rating.
We should review that next.
And I almost think the comparison makes me want to just like pull it back, pull Free Solo back down. So for me, I'm giving Free Solo 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 2 out of 5. I definitely enjoy watching it, but like I said, I don't even know if they should have made the movie.
Yeah, but you know, it got made.
Everybody else seems to like it, so you should probably go watch it.
Yeah, go watch it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's definitely worth watching.
That's for sure.
All right, guys, so that is it from us this week. Some updates. I am... Well, as you're hearing this, I'm actually in Noosa.
Oh, my God.
Right now. So, yeah, you're listening back in time, which is nuts. I'm in Noosa right now. I'm at the Active Escapes trip, and we are doing some podcasts down there. And we're also enjoying the trip because, you know, all things going well, we'll continue to do more trips with them in the future. And
it was a great show with Zana last Friday, actually, if you want to hear more about how Active, probably a really cool business. I think a business
cool
a lot
business.
Of people would like to start.
Very cool business.
How that started.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, thank you so much for listening this week. Remember, you can get the Training Journal book at thetrainingjournalbook.com. And you can also get our apparel, themindmuscleproject.com/apparel, if you want to rock some of the cool stuff that we wear in the black and white. But that's it. Guys, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.